Today, I've been charged with speaking to you about being a woman of war. And let's go. Oops, sorry. I'm not used to this cord thing. But I do talk with my hands a lot, so I didn't want to hold the microphone. So I'm like, yeah, let's try this headset thing, and we'll see how it goes. So anyways, I didn't want this to be another message that get y'all fired up and get out on the field and win this game. I wanted this to be more of a coaching. Yes, I want to fire you up, but I want this to be a coaching, and it's something that you're able to take with you. And after this round is over with, you can take it to the next round too, if that makes sense. I don't want to, you know, it's like the movie, the coach in the movie, Facing the Giants in the death crawl. All right. I don't know about you, but I still think back to that death crawl many a times. And I'm sure that that football player and that whole team at times in their life, they looked back at that death crawl because they're like, I'm pressing through on this thing. I'm pressing through on this thing. I'm not going to stop. You know, it's trying to stop me, but it ain't going to because I'm going to keep going. I'm going to reach the field goal. So today I want to be a coach. And I want you to stretch. And so just before we start, let's just, dear Heavenly Father, today we just turn this part of the conference over to you. We ask that you just open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, let the seed go deep into good ground. God, I pray that you would just hide me and don't let them see me but see you, dear Heavenly Father. Cover us today with the shelter of your wings and let us abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In Jesus' name. Before we start, there's a verse I want to share. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, and I know I sent in my verses. I'm sorry, Ange, there's other things that God's kind of messed things up, so I'll try to go. I know what you're talking about on that one, Becky. So the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 4:7. I want to take a look at that right away. It says, we're like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within us so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option, all right? We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we're not out. So we're going to look at this a little bit closer. We're like common jars of clay. I don't know about you, but at times people will look at you and they might think that you're common. We are not common, ladies. We are far from common because we are not of this world. See, we are citizens of heaven. We are resident aliens on this earth and planet. We are supernatural beings. Our spirit is housed in this vessel. And one of these days, we're going to go back to our homeland. And I have a feeling it's going to be pretty soon. Just saying, throwing that out there for y'all. So you might think I'm a common person. And some others might not think that you're going to amount to much. But let me tell you something. I am super. I am super because Christ, the King of Glory, resides in me. Christ, the King of Glory, resides in you. He is the great I am. He is the soon and coming King. He is the healer, the great physician, and he resides in you. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Yes. Dwells in you. You are more than conquerors. Colossians 1 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory resides in you. You are wrapped in the hope of glory. He surrounds you like a shield. And yes, thank you, Jesus. He says that so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's and not ours. I don't want the glory for anything I do. I want all glory to go to him. He is the one that needs to be magnified. We can't do anything on our own. I can't tie my shoes. I can't take a breath without him. He allows us to do that. And in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." So there's our strength. Yes, I will help you. He is our help in our time of trouble. And he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. He is the reason for our being. We experience every kind of pressure. Raise your hand if you've experienced any kind of pressure. All right, so this is for you. We're not crushed. We might have been under pressure at times, and you might be under pressure now. You might be facing financial difficulties. You might be facing relationship difficulties. But we are not crushed. We don't know what to do. Anybody ever been in a situation you don't know what to do? Well, guess what? Quitting is not an option for you. Quitting is not an option for the child of God. You press in. You grab hold. You go after it. You don't stop. We're persecuted by others. Anybody ever feel persecuted by others? Oh, I'll tell you what. God's not forsaken you. And even in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, it talks about we're going to be persecuted for righteous sake. But yours is the kingdom of God. Don't you dare count me out. If I'm knocked down, I'm not out. Don't count me out. I'm not counting you out. Don't you dare give up. Rise up, rise above. You have the hope of glory residing inside of you. When I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, you know what, Lord? We've heard a lot of messages about war. We know about the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. We've preached those. Ladies, I cried out. I said, God, we need more. I want a fresh word. I want a fresh revelation. I need something more on war for these ladies. Because ladies, I'm telling you today, the battle's getting hot. I don't know if you've noticed how hot the battle's getting, but when somebody who writes a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye and How to Have a Relationship, and now he's turning around and he's supporting and marching with the LGBT out in the parades, something's wrong. I don't know about you, but when you've got a praise and worship leader of one of the largest churches in Australia deciding, I'm not doing this thing anymore, I'm not a Christian anymore, you know what? Something's wrong. You've got ministers in the pulpit that are turning their back on the way, the truth, and the life. But no man comes to the Father but through him. I don't know what's going on. The word talks about before Christ comes again, there's going to be a great falling away. We're starting to see a great falling away. Now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to press in. Amen. So I found out. There's certain things you have to do to join the U.S. military, all right? So you have to be a resident and a citizen of the United States. Well, we're a resident alien, all right? Let's just face it, because we're from heaven. Our spirit man is from heaven, right? Can we all agree on that? All right, so we've came to this country. We're resident aliens. We're able to go ahead and be in the military. So you have to be a certain age. All right, well, God, because we're aliens, I guess, he's like, it don't matter what your age is. I don't care if you're not, was it 94, your mom's 94? 92? She qualifies. She can be in God's army. I've heard children go after it in prayer. They are in God's army. Their prayers move mountains, I'm telling you. They heal the sick. They do mighty works and wonders for God's kingdom. So age doesn't matter. Woo, yes. They need a high school diploma. Well, you kind of need to have some information and get your high school diploma to be in his army. Start getting the word in you. This is the best textbook ever. You can read books. You can read books, and they do help you, just like Abba, the one penny was Abba's child. You can read that. It can help you. It could be full of scripture, but until you back it up, this is your final answer right here. You want to know where to go? Read the word. And it was really interesting, and it was like a, whoa, yeah, I need to do that. We were listening to the minister on Sunday morning, and he said, whenever you're reading the scripture and it's talking about someone, put your name in there. Put your name in there. Start claiming the scriptures for you. You make it personal in your situation. Put your name in there. Okay, so high school diploma. Now you need to take and pass the Armed Service Vocational Aptitude Battery Test. That's a mouthful. So anyways, but basically that test will see if you qualify to gain entry into the service. Let me tell you something right now. After this talk last night and after the message this morning, you qualify. You know who you are. You qualify. We're getting rid of these insecurities. We qualify, all right? So we're passing that test. And then there's the Military Entrance Processing Station exam. Basically, what this does is, and I thought this verse went right with it, Romans 8:30, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So my question is, what this test does is it finds out what area of the service you're going to be good in. So are you going to be a sniper? Are you going to be that intercessor that God shares in the closet, and you're able to pray those prayers and get that area right where God needs you to get? Or are you going to work with gathering intel? Are you going to be a seer and a prophet and get that information that God's feeding you from about the enemies, so you know exactly what to do? Or are you going to be a foot soldier, getting outside of those four walls and reaching the lost and working on the inside with the children and the ladies and the men's ministry? What is it? Are you going to work in the mess hall and be an agent of hospitality? Are you going to be a sergeant that trains new soldiers, pastors, and teachers? Or are you going to be a messenger who gets the message out? That evangelist. We need those. Or are you going to be a great leader, like an apostle, a general, a major in this army? We need you all in this army. We need each and every one of you in this army to rise up. It takes so many different types of people to be in the military for it to run like a well-oiled machine that it needs to be. God's army is the same way. We need each one of you. So when I was looking at that, I was like, okay, so there's more. There's got to be more, God. So I looked at some women warriors in the Bible. And maybe it doesn't say that they warred and they went to war with the men and all of that, but that's okay, because we all war in our own different way. So I found Zipporah, Moses' mother. She warred. It took a warrior to stand and declare, this son of mine has purpose, and I am standing against Pharaoh and his orders, and I am going to do what God's leading me to do. And she stood for her son, and God rewarded her by letting her raise her son. I don't know about you, but there's some mamas in this church that need to know that it's okay to stand and war for your children. And it's okay to stand and say, I don't like what you're teaching my children in school. I'm either going to bring them home or I'm pulling them out of the class. It's all right to do that. Stand for your children. Be a Zipporah. All right. We can trust God with our children. He has a plan for them. And then Sarah, even though you think you are past the age of giving birth, God says, I am a God that keeps my promises. It doesn't matter if you are 92 years old. God can still use you. He will bring life back into you, and he will help you deliver a child in your old age. Ladies, it doesn't matter if once you pass 50, 60 years old, do not count yourself out of the fight. You can be an intercessor. You can be a mentor. You can be one that lays hands on the sick and see them recover. You have got great faith, and you are needed in the house because you need to pour your wisdom and your knowledge and your strength and your abilities into the youngers. Don't stop. Don't give up because of your age. What God is saying to those Sarahs is, there are still things to be birthed from our intimacy. Get alone with me and see what we can produce together. Hannahs, you have a promise from God. People look at you and wonder what's going on and why are your lips moving? Are you drunk? No, you're reminding God of his promises. You're not backing down. You're worshiping in the midst of your pain. When others are trying to put you down and say you are not worth anything, you are saying, God, you promised me. You have got to remind God of his promises. You don't back down from those promises. If he's called you to it, he'll see you through it. Start pressing in, Hannahs. Everyone stand back. And what Hannah's saying is, I am not giving up on what you told me, God. Stand back, watch his promise be fulfilled. Watch my son grow up and serve God. What you have been promised in the day, cry it out in the night. God is faithful over his word to complete it. Abigail's. Abigail's. Oh my goodness. I've been studying on Abigail some, and Abigail was an amazing woman. She was married to a fool. Literally, that's what her husband's name meant, was fool, okay? So what happened is David and his men, they were camping like all around her husband's flock and his men, and they were protecting Nabal's property. I mean, they were like taking care of it. And so nobody was attacking him. They weren't losing anything. Things were productive for him and everything. And so David goes and asks for some sustenance for his men and for himself. And Nabal starts slinging insults at him. David's ticked. No, he's just downright mad. All right. So he's like, all right, I'll show you. I'm picking up my sword and I'm putting my gear on. And he's gathered 400 of his men. And here comes Abigail. And Abigail's like, whoa, cool your jets, David. Stop and think of this. You are a mighty man of God. I know God's hand is upon you. I know who you're called to be. You are not called to avenge your anger right now. And so what happens is she said that she's sorry for the way her husband acted. She knew God was working in David. She knew God was fighting the battles through David. And she said, as long as you live, no evil will stick to you. If anyone stands in your way, if anyone tries to get you out of the way, know this. Listen up, ladies. Your God-honored life is tightly bound in the bundles of God's protected life. Let me read that again. Get a grip on this. Your God-honored life, you live a life honoring God, pleasing to God, you are going to be bound and wrapped up in his protection. That's why I can stand and say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that's raised against me, I can condemn it because of who I am in Christ. That's what I can do. The lives of your enemies will be hurled aside as a stone is thrown from a sling. And in 1 Samuel 25:30, when God completes all the goodness he has promised my master and sets you up as prince over Israel, my master will not have this dead weight in his heart, the guilt of an avenging murder. And when God has worked things for good for my master, remember me. What was Abigail doing? She was reminding David of who he was called to be. You need to have people surrounding you who remind you who you are called to be. You were not called to be defeated. You were called to be a victor. Amen? You need Abigails around you who will help us keep an eye on the prize and help you keep your head and remind us of who we are. Esther. Oh, I love Esther. Esther. Oh my goodness. So Mordecai urged Esther. Once she was in that palace, he urged Esther, you have got to go before the king. And she's like, I could die. If I'm not invited, I can die. And Mordecai's like, you've got to go before the king. And she's like, get everybody in Susa to fast for 3 days. She knew. She knew it wasn't going to be her that would do this thing. She knew it was going to be God. But she also knew that she needed people standing shoulder to shoulder with her in prayer on this thing. You have got to go. There's times that your battle that you're facing is major, and you have got to have sister warriors and standing with you in the trenches. Let me tell you what. When I'm in the trenches, I want my sister shoulder to shoulder with me, because I'm telling you right now, us women know how to fight. Us women know how to fight. You put somebody coming after you and coming after your family, I would rather have a woman standing with me in between the enemy and her family. I'm telling you what, we mama bears get mad. We protect our family. We don't just step aside. We step in between. So Esther, she called for the fast. She knew that only her God could save her and her people. And then she goes before the king. It could cost her more than everything. It could cost her everything. She knew she was created for such a time as this. When it's your time, you know it. Others around you might see it and they might not, but you'll know it. Because, girl, you were created for battle. You were created to fight for those promises to come forth. You were created to unveil wickedness. You were created to change your homes. You were created to change your city. You were created to cover your church. You were created to change your nation. You were created to change your culture. It's you. You were designed with a mission in mind. You were created with a purpose. Your DNA holds your calling. Your DNA for your traits, your habits, your personality, your looks were all thought of before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Greatness is within you. It's written in his book in heaven what your story is supposed to be. Esther, you were created for such a time as this. Rahab, honey. People might look down their noses at you because of your past. But let me tell you what, Rahab. God has a plan for your life, and your past does not define you. Your past is nothing compared to what your future is. He has placed courage and favor upon you to help bring his people where they were destined to come to. He will use your past to bring about his plan. Don't worry about what the town says about you. Don't worry about what the past held. He has washed you clean. So girl, you get ready because Father is going to raise you up to do mighty things. Put that scarlet rope in your window and watch as his hand crushes the enemy. Ruth. Ruth put Naomi ahead of her and left everything she had ever known. After her husband passed away, she was obedient when Naomi said, "Go to Boaz and do exactly as I tell you to do." So she did. She went to Boaz and she informed her, Naomi informed her of kingdom culture. Naomi's are in here. You need to be informing some people of kingdom culture. So she was not used to this kingdom culture that Naomi was telling her about. It was totally different than what she knew. We get informed of kingdom things that we are not familiar with, but when you are told by someone who knows that culture, you listen. You get a spiritual mentor. If you do not have a spiritual mentor, you need to get a spiritual mentor. About 16 years ago, I made a phone call and I asked somebody, "Would you mentor me?" I looked and I sought out a mentor, not knowing about a year later, God was going to move me to Michigan to be with my mentor. And so once a week, Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, I would make a phone call and I would be held accountable. I would be prayed with, I would be taught, and here I am. You get a mentor. Mentors are necessity for you. And not only do you need a mentor, when someone starts pouring into you, you find somebody else to pour into. You can't keep it all yourself. Don't dam up God's good thing. Let it flow. Let it flow. So Ruth got her mentor. Let iron sharpen iron and let someone speak into your life and give them permission to wound you when necessary. When God speaks, you obey. Your kinsman redeemer will recognize you and cover you by his hand and protect you. And God will fulfill his promises to others through you. Through Ruth, we got Christ. Deborah. I love Deborah. Deborah, she made wicks in the temple. She gave God's light in the temple. She helped with the light. The wisest of women builds her house. When God tests people's innermost thoughts, he saw Deborah's actions and he told her, Deborah, you intended to increase my light. I too shall increase your light in Judah and Jerusalem. So God raised her up as a judge and a warrior. She wasn't just a judge. She was a warrior. She was a warrior. She was ruling over the political and personal things just like a queen would. She dealt with the matters of the people of Israel. Using governmental structure that Moses set up, it was her job to see to the affairs of her people. Every great story requires an evil plot. And here it is. 20 years have went by. Israel has been oppressed. They have had an enemy coming against them. And God's people are tired of it. But God has told them, and Deborah sent a reminder to Barak, who was a commander of Israel's army. She had sent a reminder, and she said in Judges 4:6, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops to Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men. I will deliver him into your hand. What's the difficulty in that? All you're supposed to do is go, and God's going to do the work. Get up off your butt, man, and go get the thing, right? No, it takes a woman, because Barak says, if you ain't going, I ain't going. She's like, get up, let's go. Let's go do this thing that God told us to do. It took a Deborah to get a man moving. It's taken this Deborah to get a man moving. I'm just saying, I love the man with all my heart, but sometimes you just got to push him a little, right? So she nudged Barak with this promise. The victory was already theirs. All they had to do was rise up and ride. Barak wasn't so confident, and he told her, if you go with me, then I'll go, but if you don't, I'm not going. She had the perspective that all heroes must have. She had heaven's perspective, which meant she feared God and not man. She didn't take man's opinion into account when she made her decision. She wasn't a people pleaser. She was a God pleaser. So she told Barak, I will surely go with you. Nonetheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey you are about to take. For the Lord will sell Caesarea into the hands of a woman. Sometimes in your houses, you are the one that will stand in faith. And sometimes you are the only one that will stand in faith in your house. But you stand. You don't back up. And then sometimes when the battle gets hot, you still stand. You don't go down. And some of you might be on the verge of going down. But I'm telling you right now, you stand shoulder to shoulder with your sisters, and they will help you in this battle. They will help you in this battle. There are so many things that I admire about Deborah, but my favorite thing is her daily decision to take bold action. She saw something was wrong, and she did something about it. It was as simple as that. These people are done messing with Israel, God's people, and I'm standing up for it. And if he doesn't, I'm going to kick him in the rear, and then I'm going to make him go. That's what her decision was. She didn't need a pat on the back or her BFF's approval or an applause from her people. Deborah decided that something else was more important than fear, and that was the freedom of God's people. Her love for others swallowed up any concern for herself, her own safety or well-being. And like Esther, she probably said to herself, if I perish, I perish. But we're doing this thing. When I look at these women, they have things in common, and I want to draw them out some. These women, when I went over them, maybe there were one or two that you can associate with. Different solutions take different tactics in warfare. Sometimes you need that sniper, but sometimes you need to charge the beachhead. Whatever tactic is needed, you need to get into your prayer closet and get God's battle plan first. Because if you go into battle without having a battle plan, things can get really messy really quick. Seek Him. We don't want to charge a beachhead when all it takes is one precise move and the battle is won. So these are amazing women of God. These women of war that we, when we read His word, we see them and they encourage us and they inspire us and we see things in their lives that we want to replicate into ours. So what does it look like today? Today, we have warriors right here in this room. I've warred with some of you, and I know you're warriors. And some of us have been in this fight for a while. Some of us, this might be new to. If you're new to your walk in Christ, you might be thinking, whoa, I didn't sign up for no war. When you said yes to Jesus, you made hell mad. All right? So welcome to the war. That's my good word for today. Welcome to the war. But you're more than conquerors through Him. So once you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a part of His army, and He provides for you the training through your church services, through your mentoring, through your time in the Word, through your time in prayer. He will raise you up as a warrior to carry out your marching orders and to take the gospel to all nations. I don't know if you realize that, but in this United States, there are all nations here. So if you don't set foot on foreign soil, you're still called to all nations. We are following His example. Exodus 15:3 says that the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. If He's a warrior and He's inside of us, you're a warrior. Okay? So in Revelation 19, He's coming back as that warrior, riding on a white horse, wearing a blood-stained white robe. He will be leading a mighty army with a sword. That is our warrior. That is our warring king. That's the one that we can trust in battle. One thing qualified these ladies that we talked about is they were warriors at heart. A warrior is not a person in their full battle rattle and their faces painted for war. It's someone who says, I love you, Lord, and I'm willing to lay down my life to fight for my family. I'm willing to fight for my country. I'm willing to stand against popular opinion for my faith. I'm willing to cover my pastors. I'm willing to stand for righteousness in the schools, knowing all the while that there is an enemy that is coming after him, but they're still willing to stand and say, not my kids, Satan, not my marriage, Satan, not my church, Satan, not my country, Satan, not my government, Satan. My house will serve the Lord. You will not get what I love. Not without coming for me first. Intercessors are warriors. When you pray for others, you are standing in the gap for them. Ezekiel 22:30. It said in the NIV, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I did not find one. Do not be the reason that he did not find one. Lady warriors, we need to rise. We need to rise. We need to rise and stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for your family. Stand in the gap for your loved ones that are lost. Stand in the gap for the schools and what they're teaching. Rise up. Warriors will stand between the enemy and those they hold dear. They will fight for a cause they are willing to lay their lives down for. They are willing to fight for a cause that is greater for themselves, and it is a kingdom cause. If you're stagnated, if you're stale, if you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life, you have got to get back to being a warrior. Being a warrior gives you the passion, and when you have the passion, you can move forward. There are some of us in this room that are at a point where you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Let's go. All right. There's some of us that are in the midst of a battle already. There's some of us that are feeling victorious because we just won one of our battles. There's some of us that are feeling like we just lost one. There's some of us that have been wounded in battle. There's some of us that are suffering from PTSD. Something happened or someone says something and it triggers memories that are accompanied by intense emotional and physical reaction. And some of us might be feeling disabled. But no matter what place you are at, you are still a warrior. It doesn't matter if you're wounded. You're a wounded warrior. It doesn't matter if you're still fighting something from the past and those memories come up again. That doesn't discount you. You're still a warrior. You are a warrior. I know you're a warrior because you are a woman. And when an enemy comes after our family, no matter if we are drained, it doesn't matter. We reach deep inside of us. We put on our big girl panties, pick up our sword, and we fight with everything we have in us. And we will give it till our last breath. We get in that prayer closet and we start interceding for that teen that just slammed the door as they're walking out and we have no idea where they're headed. When we're wondering where our husband is and why he's working so late, we get in that prayer closet and we cover him. It doesn't matter if there's 42 cents left in the checking account and a $500 electric bill and you think it's getting ready to get shut off. We war for our finances because we are tithers and we are givers. We hit our knees when we see something in our marriage that doesn't belong, and we wage war on an enemy because he can't have our homes. We shout out a battle cry when we see that even though we are tithers, our finances are being hit. We are warriors and we are women of war and we will fight. God is not done with you. He is not going to leave you. He has called you to be a warrior. You have gone through some things and you might be wounded. Allow him to minister to you today and heal those wounds. It might have been traumatic, but he's the great physician who ministers to the body, the soul, and the spirit. He will heal you. Being wounded does not take you out of the fight. When you heal, you help others through the same thing and you get on down the road. You become a mentor. You make a commitment today to renew that commitment, to be that warrior that he's called you to be. You remember who's standing with you. He is the ultimate warrior. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the mighty one that sits upon the throne that has written all of your days in his book. Psalm 119:14 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." He is our hiding place. When you're battle weary, you hide in him. Psalm 32:7 says, "He's our hiding place and he preserves us and he surrounds us with songs of deliverance." Psalm 17:8 says that he keeps us as the apple of his eye and he hides us under his wings. Psalm 27:5 says, "In the days of trouble, he will conceal us in the secret place of his tabernacle and lift us up on a rock." When the battle won't take you down, he will lift you up. When the battle is getting hot and heavy, it's not the time to give in. Get up. Breakthrough's almost there. Have you ever noticed when things get hot and they get heavy and the pressure is on? You press in a little bit more and there's your victory. You don't give up in the press, ladies. Press on, press in. God is standing before you. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. He stands between you and your enemy. If you have got a shield, the shield is the Lord. When you're feeling the press of the battle, is it the shield pressing against you? Wonderful. That's him. Hallelujah. He is the shield pressing against you. A shield can be an active block, but it can also be used as a weapon to strike the enemy with. Depending on the use of the shield, it can be defensive or offensive. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. He is the word. He is the word. When David said, I hope in your word, he did not realize what he was saying in its fullness. The Savior was coming. The word made flesh was going to dwell among men and pay a price so that they could overcome anything that the enemy throws against them. He didn't realize that the Savior was the way through him. John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. I hope in your Word. My hope is in Christ, and Christ in me is the hope of glory. No weapon formed against him prospered, so no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. His word is yes and amen, and we can trust him and take him at his word. Our God is on this battlefield protecting us. He is our hiding place and our shield. He is a mighty warrior. The Lord of hosts goes before us. He was the one who dwelt in the Holy of Holies and led the children of Israel out of the wilderness. And he's going to lead you out of your wilderness too. He is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the one that commands heaven's armies to come and fight on your behalf. He is the one that swore by himself because there was no one greater. He is the breaker when you are struggling, and he will literally come on the scene and break through for you. Every lie, every bondage or obstacle that keeps us from becoming the fullness of what Jesus Christ designed us to be, he is the one that will break it. Today, Jesus, the matchless name. Prison doors are being opened and POWs are being released to get back to their platoons and back in the war for their families, for their churches, and for the nation. Chains that have bound you are breaking off and are now free POWs. Slaves are bound no more. The words that wounded, cast them to the ground. The words that say no weapon that is formed against you will succeed, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn it. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, said the Lord. So when I'm looking at these women of war, there's a few things that I saw. I saw women that sought after God with all of their heart. I saw women that stood their ground. I saw women that would remind God and others of what he had spoken. I saw women that would not give up. I saw women of courage and women that would obey God when he said to do what he said to do. And I saw women willing to stand between the enemy and those that they loved. Today, I'm calling out just like Miss Clara did in the movie War Room. And I'm reading you what Miss Clara prayed. If you are willing to stand up and renew your vow as a war woman of God, come stand shoulder to shoulder right now. You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful and you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Raise up more that will call on your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that will hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so they can see the truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take the light into this world, that will not compromise under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, today we are coming to you on behalf of our homes. We're coming on behalf of our children that are lost. We're coming on behalf of our husbands that are lost. We are coming on behalf of our pastors. We are coming on behalf of our finances, of our healing, dear God. Lord Jesus, whatever it is that you need to warfare for, Lord Jesus, right now, in Jesus' name, start calling it out. Start calling it out. Start praying. Start warring, women. You aren't quiet. You're quiet. You're quiet. How important is it? How important is it? Lift your voices. War, 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 war. Now is not the time to be quiet. Now is time to go after it. You war with the word. You war with the word. He is with you in battle. If it's family salvation, you're crying out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your family in Jesus' name. Now is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from a distant land of the enemy. Hallelujah. Your finances. Hallelujah. You seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. If it's healing, pray that you are prospering, even as your soul is prospering and you're in good health. If you need peace, He says, I leave the gift of peace with you. Not the fragile kind. Peace given by the world, but my peace. Don't yield to fear. Fear is far from us in Jesus' name. What is it? War. War. Dear Heavenly Father. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by His Spirit. War. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Raise up warriors, dear Heavenly Father, that will fight, that will stand, that will have a backbone of bronze. Dear Heavenly Father, we're calling out today on behalf of our children. Lord Jesus, our children will raise up. They will raise up as a mighty army. They will raise up as prophets. They will raise up as ministers. They will raise up. It doesn't matter if they're sitting in a bar room. They are called. They are called. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our children. You cannot have our children. You cannot have our children. We speak against any plan of the enemy and we cancel it out now. We say our children are men and women of God. They are warriors. They are warriors. They are mighty. We raised up arrows and we're shooting them out in Jesus' name. We will not take no for an answer. They are yours, dear Heavenly Father. They are yours. They are mighty men and women of God in Jesus' name. Our husbands are men of integrity. Our husbands are yes and amen men. Our husbands are God seekers. Our husbands are mighty. They are men of valor. They look to you. Our husbands cover our homes. They are the high priest of our homes. They have stepped up into position in Jesus' name. Our country is a God-fearing country. Our country is one that is based on your principles. Our country is one that is yours, God. It was founded on your principles. We will not take what is happening now. We ask you to pull out the ones that need pulled out. We ask you to put in the ones that need put in. We thank you for God-fearing senators. We thank you for God-fearing representatives. We say yes and amen on our state levels as well as our national level, as our local levels as well, dear God. We thank you that there is a sanctity of life in this country. We thank you that abortion mills are stopping down. They're shutting up. They're closing down. And we thank you that crisis pregnancy centers are rising up in Jesus' name. We thank you that there's emotional support for those women going through troubled times in that. And for the men that are going through those times, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father. God, we thank you that you're coming together and you're bringing the churches together. And we thank you that the church is built on your word. Lord Jesus, if they're not preaching your word, change them. Get a hold of them. Shake them up. Shake them up. Shake them up. Shake them up in Jesus' name. Shake them up. Your word will be established in those churches. There is a mighty revival coming. Our sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Our old men are going to see visions in Jesus' name. Your time is now. Your time is now. Raise up your army. Raise up your warriors, dear Heavenly Father. Let us march. Let us get our orders in march. Let us not stop. Let us not back down in Jesus' name. Let us go forward. Let us fight the good fight and wage the good war in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you what. Oh, goodness. I can go on, but I think my time's about up. I'll tell you what, but I'm telling you right now, my last word of advice is you get people to surround you when you are in the heat of the battle, because you need them. You need them. This is not a Lone Ranger affair. This is a group effort. You've got a platoon that you're assigned to. Get into the position you're assigned to. Because when you've got people warring with you, you go home after a hard day at work and you find notes like this. And you find notes that say greatness is inside of you. And you find notes that says you are powerful. You need people standing before you, behind you, and beside you. God's going before you and behind you. But honey, you got to have your shoulders protected too. So that's what your sisters are for. And I'm telling you, the last thing I want to leave you with right now is how many of you are here that are in an amazing church? You have got pastors that need you. You are called to be armor bearers. Remember Jonathan and David. Jonathan was David's armor bearer. And he said, you go, I'm going. I ain't staying back. I've got your six. Ward showed me something one time. When you gather around your pastors and you're praying for your pastors. Becky, Shannon, Christy, come on, all you guys. All you guys, you know who I'm talking to. All you guys, come on. Grab a circle. Just grab a circle. Get your hands. Delois, Alta, Angela. Yep, Joe, Kim. Where y'all? If your pastor's here, gather around them. If your pastor's here, gather around them. She coming? All right. Let me share something with you, ladies. Penny, come on up. That's all right. Ladies, let me share something with you. I want to share something with you, ladies. What's going to happen if somebody comes after your pastor? They're going to go through you first, right? This is what needs to happen. You gather around your pastors and you bombard heaven with your prayers. You get their six. You don't back down. You gather around them and you pray because they need you. They need you. The enemy has got to go through them to get to you. They carry you in the spirit. They carry you in prayer. They carry you in the nights that they don't sleep. They are praying for you. So today I want to take a few minutes and I want to pray for the pastors. Gather around your pastors. Gather around and just start praying for your pastors. Pray for strength. They need the strength. They need the strength renewed in Jesus' name. They need to be renewed and refreshed. They need the strength. Lift up the hands that hang down. They get heavy. They get heavy. They need an Aaron and a Hur to gather around them. Right now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, infuse strength into these pastors today. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will lift them up. I pray that you will infuse your strength within them. I pray that you will give them words. I pray that you will rejoice over them with singing and let them hear it. Health issues have to go in the name of Jesus. War for them. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Make yourself realer to them than they have ever known before. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kiandariarabashi. Diana diarabashi, kiandariarabashi.